song.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Pass the salt, that's right. That's what we're going to do here today. And, man, I got some stuff in my heart I want to be able to share with you. Big rainstorm here in Ohio again. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Can't hardly walk out in my yard. It's so muddy. I want to stop before we go any further. I'm not one to blow smoke, just to blow smoke. But my wife said something to me today. I get up early. She gets up after me. First thing she does, gets her Bible out and sits down, begins reading her Bible. She's always giving me good nuggets in the morning. And then this morning she said to me, what happens if Jared has to miss the show? Is there anybody else to run it? And I paused for a minute and I realized Jared hasn't missed any shows. I've missed more shows than Jared. He hasn't missed one show. And I don't know what would happen if Jared can't be here. Do we have a backup plan for somebody else to run the show? I said to Michelle, nobody can do what Jared does. I mean, maybe somebody could get a huddle up and running, but they sure couldn't do all the stuff that Jared's doing behind the scenes. And so I just wanted to, even though we pay Jared to do what he does, a workman's worthy of his wages. Jared, I just want to say publicly, your faithfulness, man, to be here every morning. You ain't missed a day. You got perfect attendance. And I just want to make sure that I acknowledge your faithfulness. And anybody else out there looking for a webmaster, a web guy, my goodness. Jared has been, he's been a faithful guy. So Jared, I want you to know that I appreciate it and want everybody else to realize all the stuff that you do.
And all you Christian single women out there, he's available.
He is. He's a big guy. Jared's a lot bigger than he looks. He's 6'3", Jared? 6'3". He ain't going to blow his own horn. He's a big boy. But you better be careful. He's looking for a godly woman. And, you know, sometimes he says, I don't know if I'm ever going to find one. Yeah, you will. Yes, you will. I want to cover a little bit of a topic today, for lack of a better word. Lord, keep me on target here. Lord, keep me on target. Where do you want me to start? Okay, I'll start there. Man, I got to tell you something, guys. The assault that I'm not asking for sympathy. I'm trying to give you a broad picture here, okay? The assault that I am continually under by the religious folk is just, I can't even explain it. I can't even explain it. I see, I get the trolls, you know, the trolls are always after us here on the show. They're always after me and posting on Facebook and all that. So by the way, I'm in Facebook jail. I'll be out here in about 12 hours, I understood. I don't know what I did, although I do know this. There's been several of us who have like internet programs who've been banned at the same time and banned based on old postings. Isn't that something? I saw one guy said that, he was banned for a posting he made 7 years ago. All of a sudden he got banned. And I got banned for a posting that I made. I don't even know how many years ago it was I made it. So I'm wondering if that cabal of God haters there at Facebook and YouTube, if they're not messing with it a bit, if you know what I'm saying. But those guys don't bother me, other than we're going to run out of the ability to communicate if we don't build some other platform. And I know others are working on making that happen, other than Facebook and YouTube. There's no free speech on Facebook. If you want to see programming in action, just go to Facebook and watch what they censor. Go to YouTube and see what videos they do not allow to be posted on Facebook. And so what it is, they get you hooked on Facebook and then they say this, uh-oh, you said something you shouldn't have said. Bang, bang, bang. You can't be on here for 3 days. And then, so what does that do? That says, oh, I say to myself, well, golly, I better watch what I say. I don't want to get banned from Facebook. Don't you see? It's part of control, part of mind control, mental control. And I've told you all that I only use Facebook to plant seeds. That's really what I do. I use it as a vehicle to get thoughts and ideas out to the lost world. But my greatest opposition comes from those who are my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I'm sick of it. I want to make something very, very clear here. I never claim to be right all the time. I lay stuff out on the table. If you watch this show regularly, you know, we chew it over. We argue back. We don't argue. We debate it. Not a multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. We chew on this stuff all about. And then at the end of the show, I say, you do whatever you want to. You live however you want to. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But here's what I've seen from the religious folk, and I don't know any other term to describe. I got an email yesterday from a guy. I emailed back and forth. I'm not going to tell his name because I'm not going to dignify it. And these religious folk always want to throw legalism in your face. Oh, yeah? Well, what about following the Sabbath? Oh, yeah? Well, what about, are you eating pork? You guys know what I'm saying? I don't even read them sometimes because I get so frustrated with it. Because I think whether you realize it or not, you've become a Christian rule follower. You're a rule follower. Now, not that there's something wrong with following rules, but you think you're holy and righteous because you're a rule follower. You're a rule follower. You see, I get into it with this guy yesterday, and he goes on and on about, boy, the platform that I have, and I ought to be using it to teach people about the Sabbath, and I'll be using it to teach people about what really happens when you die. And I'm thinking, dude, do you watch my show? Because I talk about that stuff all the time. And so I said to him, check out some of my shows. I talk about this stuff a lot. I don't cover everything. Check out a couple shows and get back to me. So he does one less. Then he gets back to that. I can't hardly watch you because you have this great platform and you're just talking about worldly stuff. And my head felt like exploding, but luckily I had my hat on. Because, see, he thinks Christianity is about rule following. Now, listen to me, folks. That is personal religion. Personal religion. Hear me. Keeping the feast, the Sabbath, dietary laws, ceremonial laws, that's all religion. That's all religion. And I believe that we're not bound by those. Now, will the dietary laws make me healthier? Probably. Probably. Is following the Sabbath, not following the Saturday Sabbath, is that going to keep me out of heaven? I don't think so. It's Jesus and nothing. Not Jesus plus the Sabbath. Not Jesus plus the dietary law. Some of you are getting nervous right now. I hear you. See, religion is you practicing the laws and the rules of Scripture. That's religion. It's religion. And I believe that following, excuse me, those dietary laws and following those feasts and following much of the stuff that we find in the Old Testament may give you a better life, maybe healthier, maybe. But those things don't get you into heaven. I see some of those Hebrew guys said that got to have facial hair. Well, I have facial hair, but I don't think that's going to keep me from getting to heaven. Whether I do or don't, whether I shave or not, I don't think so. You know, I don't know. And that long hair, if you have long hair, I need a haircut. If I have long hair, men aren't supposed to have long hair. Men aren't supposed to wear hats. I mean, I hear all this stuff from people all the time who are trying to religiousize me. They want to turn me into a religious guy. Some of you are really nervous. You're really nervous. Yeah, go ahead, George. Yeah.
I'm just curious. Why can't people like that discern the difference? Like take eating, for instance, know each other well. You know how I eat. I know how you eat. Mm-hmm. I do it for health reasons. How come people can't have common sense and say, God put that in the Bible because he wants us healthy, not because he wants us. How come they can't discern that?
I don't know.
If they truly have the Holy Spirit in them, how can they be that stupid? I don't know how else to say it, but it's stupid.
Well, George, I'm going to give you, Jared, go to James 1 real quickly. James 1. Go ahead, Chad.
Okay, I was just going to say that it sounds like that guy that's emailing you ought to have his own show.
Well, that's what frustrates them, right?
Because, see, they want to talk about the platform. They want to talk about they have it, but they don't want to offer anything.
Yeah.
You know, so he just needs to go get him a YouTube channel and get on there and break it down and show us how it's done.
Chad, I started this with nobody. The first show, I think, was me, Mike Heath, who was Jared's dad, who was running it at that time, and Pete LaBarbera, who's my first guest. I don't know if we had anybody else even watching. That's where I started it from. And those of you who watch this know I've been pretty much true to what I say this show is. You do what you want. I'm laying it on the table. We'll chew it up and spit it out, and then you live out however you want to. But quit trying to put those yokes of bondage on me. You understand that? Stop that. If the Lord wants me to worship on Saturday, he'll let me know. He'll let me know. I don't need your condemnation to tell me to worship on Saturday. I get it, okay? I understand it, okay? I get it. But I want to show you something, because you guys know what a mic drop is, right? A mic drop is when you say something and boom, there's nothing else to be said. Can I give you a mic drop? Let me give you a mic drop to all of you rule followers out there. Oh, I hear them right now. I hear them right now. See, your rule following, bear with me, guys. This wasn't where I'm going to go, but I'm on this horse. Let me get him across the finish line, okay? The rule following may have to do a lot with your relationship with the Lord. It may. It might be good. It might enhance your relationship. We talked about fasting, and fasting enhances my relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
Now, it's funny that a lot of this guy the other day that I was hearing from, he didn't talk anything about that. He's talking about rule following and how I got to teach people to follow the rules, and this is what I'm really supposed to do. And I said, that's good. Here comes the mic drop. Okay. I said,
good girl.
You're pretty good at following those rules. And you sure want other people to follow the rules. Seems to me like your religion's all about you. Following rules. That you're healthier, wealthier, and wiser than me because you follow all the rules. Now let me ask you something else. Mic drop moment. James 1, let's start in 20. I'm guessing, Jared. Let's start about 21 here in James. So 121. Let's start in 20. Are you guys with me? Y'all with me? You don't have to say anything. I know you are. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. See, listen, guys. I am made righteous by God. It's not something I work out. Not eating pork doesn't make me more righteous, okay? Not wearing mixed threads doesn't make me more righteous. Not eating shellfish doesn't make me more righteous, okay? I'm righteous. The Lord made me righteous. Stay with me. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Those are some words. Imagine Paul sitting down right now. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. Meekness means control. Receive with control the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Okay? Now, I want you to follow this with me. Mic drop coming up. Okay? Salvation is a very, very important issue. Now, when you get saved, I hate to tell you this. Salvation isn't about you and how good a Christian you become after you're saved. That's not what it's about. You're supposed to be. You're supposed to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But I want you to know that the gospel ain't about your personal holiness. And those of you out there say, Coach, you got to teach more on this and more on this. Okay, well, that is for the personal holiness of individuals. And I agree with you. I agree with you. We need to do that. We need to work out our own salvation. He's sitting down, mic drop coming. 22. Be doers of the word. And not hearers only.
Amen.
Hey, dude, deceiving your own self. Deceiving your own self. Stay with me. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. You're looking in a mirror. Right? Verse 24. For he sees himself, and then he goes on his way. And straightway he forgets what manner of man he is. You ever do that? You ever get a mark on your face or something, and you look at it in the mirror, and you try to, I got one right here. I got one drying up right here. You try to powder it up and do everything you can, and so you just say, I look good, and then you walk away, and you go someplace else, and everybody else notices it. You don't notice it because you don't see it anymore. So you look in the mirror, you see what you look like, okay, and then you walk away, and you don't realize that you don't really look what you think you look like. Makes sense? Stay with me. Mic drop coming. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, law of liberty, law of freedom, he who looketh into the perfect law of freedom and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So let's go back. What are you looking into? The law, perfect law of freedom, not the perfect law of following rules. The perfect law of freedom. It's Jesus plus nothing else. Jesus plus nothing else saves you. Now the rest of it is working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You don't get Jesus and then have to follow the Sabbath. You get Jesus, and if his spirit moves on you to obey the Sabbath, you understand? It's a perfect law of liberty. Oh, I hear him. I hear the gnashing of teeth right now out there. Bear with me. Mic drop's coming. But whosoever, 25, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, you continue in the law of liberty, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man's going to be blessed in everything that he does. You ready? If any man among you seems to be religious, huh? What? Religious? Seems to be religious? And doesn't bridle his own tongue? He deceives his own heart. And that man's religion's in vain. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I just got to, because mic drop. Pure religion, verse 27. Mic drop, get ready. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to keep the Sabbath, to not eat pork, to make sure you're wearing the right clothing, to dress properly when you go to church, to, can I go on and on, to tithe. That's the perfect, is that it? That's the pure religion and undefiled by God and the Father is this: to follow all the rules. Follow all the rules in that Old Testament. Follow every one of those rules. Well, I wish that was true. But James, who was the brother of Jesus, I'm going to show you that here in a second too. Said, no, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father's what this, to visit the fatherless, to go to the abortion clinic and rescue those babies that their daddy has rejected. And the widows, those women who are going in there to kill their babies, and they don't have a husband who's, they have a guy who laid with them and impregnated them, but they're a widow. He is nowhere to be found. And pure and undefiled religion is not following all the rules and regulations, but to go out and serve those who are in need, the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted for the world. So the mic drop is what? All right. Well, you've been following the Sabbath and not eating pork. I've been out rescuing babies. Which one of us is in right, more right relationship with the Lord? Because see, your faith and your religion ain't about you. It's about once you're saved, what kind of works do you have? Now, what kind of rules do you follow? What kind of works do you have?
Amen.
I'm going to drop the mic there a minute. Because they can't answer that. See? They can't answer that. Can I tell you why? Because their faith and their religion is all about them. But then becoming holier than everybody else. Oh, I hear the gnashing of teeth. I hear it. I had to get out of, had to get that out of me. Somebody jump in here, rescue me a second.
Dave, I've got a question. You know, when I read that, I'm with you. But it seems the only service that church is willing to participate in is, you know, having a food drive, going overseas to serve somebody. And that's what always puzzles me, because it's got to be more broad than that. Your actions have got to be broader. And then when you read, and in the stress to keep oneself from being polluted by the world, there's things you are to do. But all you seem to get in a church today is, you know, a food pantry, which is good, and but there's never any action of defending anything or fighting for anything. It's just food, and let's go to Haiti and build a shelter.
Okay, Roger, so how about this one? Let's use this analogy, folks. Let's say in your public schools, they're beginning to teach transgendered children, transgenderism to children, which they are, by the way, in your local public school. Can I ask you a question? Where are those kids' daddies?
Right, Coach.
See, the kids are orphans. The kids are orphans. Dad's not stepping up and doing what he's supposed to do. So what am I supposed to do?
Coach.
What am I supposed to do, George? Well, I'm supposed to do what? I'm supposed to rescue them in their affliction. That's what I'm supposed to do. I have an obligation to these fatherless children whose dads have nothing to do with their lives. And they go into a public school and they're being taught the doctrines of hell. They're fatherless. Oh, yeah, but you got to go to church on Saturday. Yeah, George.
But, you know, Coach, that's getting messy. It's so much easier not to get messy. You know, no one likes cleaning up a dirty mess. And it's so much easier, like Roger's saying, let's just have a food drive. Let's just teach on 10 ways to have a better marriage and be a better friend and finance. I mean, there's no mess in that. There's mess in what you do. And that's why us guys that are on the show, that's why we love you, because get messy and how to get dirty and to actually engage where the rubber meets the road.
Amen. Thanks, George. Not only that, to show you that it's a requirement of your faith.
Yes.
Requirement of your faith to rescue those, the fatherless and the widows, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Well, what's their affliction? What is he talking about? Anytime that you look out in the society, in the culture, and you see there is no man protecting the women and the children, there's no man standing in the gap. It is our obligation as Christians, pure and undefiled religion. That's what it says. Before God is what? To go stand in the gap on their behalf. It ain't about eating pork. Ooh, I feel this morning.
Okay.
Let's the religious folk. Yeah.
Go to James 20 or 19. Let me read 19 because I want to handle this.
All of James is good, man. All of James is good. All of it.
My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. This is what my Bible says. I'm getting rid of this thing soon.
Good, Roger. We're praying for you.
And slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. See, that would seem to cut at what we are wanting to do. Therefore, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. 21, therefore get rid of amoral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. But it seems like there's sometimes a contradiction because I believe in the righteous anger of man.
Yeah, put 19, Jared. 19 is what we're looking for.
Scripture.
Well, let's go there. Let's see. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. In other words, you can't make things right just because you're angry. But the point is, you're supposed to take your anger and direct it in a way that is going to, dare I say it, rescue the women and orphan in their time of need. Our anger should motivate us to do something that will bring in the righteousness of God. I cannot force people to be righteous. Only God can do that. But I can certainly go stand in the gap against something that is assaulting the spiritual condition of a child. That ought to get angry and go do something about it. Jesus, boys and girls, Jesus flipped over some tables. Jesus got angry. And he did something. Now, hang on. As far as I know, he was the sinless Son of God. You know what he did? He went in that temple. He flipped over tables and mourning doves that they were selling, they got loose and flew away, and things that were on the tables got broken. There's got to be a sin in there somewhere, doesn't there? Didn't he violate something there? No, he's not working. The wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. It doesn't say there ain't supposed to be wrath. It says this, Roger, my beloved brethren, let every man be slow to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. It doesn't say don't hear, don't speak, and don't get angry. It says be slow.
Thank you.
And we've taken that and said, no, yeah, Roger, you're angry. Why, you're angry, Roger. Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm angry. So, again, it's all interpretation, isn't it? Now, maybe, Roger, maybe if I did a better job of teaching on the Sabbath, I wouldn't be as angry. See, that's personal religion. Personal religion. Come on, man. We're supposed to be building a kingdom and expanding a kingdom. And so many people are sitting around focusing only on how they can be more holy. Jesus plus this, and Jesus plus this, and Jesus plus this, and Jesus plus this, and Jesus plus this. No! Jesus! And then if the Holy Spirit encourages you to not do this or not do that or do this, then you hear his voice, follow his voice. But you can send me all the emails you want to about the Sabbath. Only the Holy Spirit can convict me of that, okay? Only the Holy Spirit. And I'm not making fun of anybody who is a Sabbath keeper and has received peace from it. Praise the Lord. In your prayer, rather than emailing me about how much I need to follow the Sabbath, why don't you pray for me that the Lord will open my eyes?
Amen.
Not you. The Lord will open your eyes. I don't care if any of you guys, I don't care if any of you watching the show agree with me. I couldn't care less. That's not why I'm here.
Better yet, how about they pray the Lord's will be done and then trust that? If it's the will that everybody worships on Saturday, then if they pray trusting that his will be done, if they pray the way Jesus taught us to, then by golly, everybody will end up worshiping on Saturday. But when you start injecting your idea about what God's will is, that's into my way of thinking. That's when you do not trust God's will, but you want to impose yours instead.
Amen, brother.
Jared.
Amen, Larry.
Kevin Anderson just texted me, Colossians 2:16. Can you pull that up there real quick, Jared? Colossians 2:16. And then I heard from Robert. I'm Billy Graham. It's a great question. We'll ask. I'll get you here in a second. Colossians 2:16. There you are. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of any holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward and of voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together increasingly with the increase of God. So there you are. Quit judging my salvation because I eat pork, okay? Stop that. Will I be healthier if I don't eat pork? Well, maybe, probably. But the Lord's going to let me know that, not you, okay? And Robert said this. Oh, thanks, Robert. I wonder what Billy Graham wishes he had done instead of he wanted to get along with people. I read something today. I'm in no way criticizing Billy Graham, because anybody who's in a public ministry like me, we're open to all kinds of criticism. And you can sit out there and you can point out things that I did wrong. I get it. I respect Pastor Billy Graham. I respect him and his commitment to the Lord. But you know, I don't know if you know this or not. Back in the late 70s, Billy Graham entered into a discussion with some people who could help expand the gospel through Billy Graham. And they purposefully asked him not to get involved with social issues. Abortion. Billy Graham could have ended abortion. He got a lot of people saved. Did I tell you guys this? I received salvation at a Billy Graham crusade in 1963. I did. Now, I reconfirmed it in 1978. They hooked me. Billy Graham hooked me in 1963. And then they pulled me up on the beach, and I, like an old dead fish, and I rotted on the beach. And then 15 years later, I made my way back to the Lord. So I salute Billy Graham.
Well, Robert, let me answer your question. I had the privilege and the opportunity to be at a group meeting, several of us, about 8 or 10 of us, were speaking with Mr. Billy Graham back in the 80s. And he confided to that group, talking to them, that if he had anything to do over again during his crusades and all, he would have put way more emphasis on follow-up after people walked the aisle. He said, our crusades were designed to bring them down the aisle. He says, if I did it again, the purpose would be to disciple them after they came down the aisle. So
that's a tough thing to do, right? That is a tough thing. And so Billy became unintentional, I'm sure, the father of easy believism, walk an aisle, say a prayer. I'm not being critical of him. But I believe this, and I believe it today. Franklin Graham, he's still alive, could end abortion. When we went down to Port Arthur, and we went down to Rockport, and we saw the Franklin Graham's Samaritan ministry, and we saw they have trucks. They turn out hundreds, maybe thousands of volunteers. When we saw the power of that Franklin Graham Samaritan ministries, I stood back in amazement. And I said, you know what, Lord? These people right here could end abortion in a week. But it's not their focus. It's mercy ministry, right? It's mercy. All mercy. So we have in American Christianity, rule following and mercy. That's basically it. And unfortunately, you don't have to rule follow, because you can just come over here to this mercy ministry and everything's, I'm okay, you're okay. And somewhere in the middle of that is, there's some good meat and potatoes that's being missed. Yes, George.
Hey, Coach.
Was it George? Yeah, go, George.
Yeah. So here's my question, because I've heard this a lot. People say, well, my ministry isn't to confront abortion. My ministry is blah, 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 blah.
I'm not called to do that.
So is that true, or is that somewhat a cop-out? Because how I read the verse you read in Hebrews, that what pure religion is, we're all to do that. Correct or not correct?
Yes, absolutely we are. Hey, Jared, while you're right there, Glenn just sent me a message. He said, go to James 2, 18 and 19. James 2, 18 and 19. What does that say? Pull it up here. I love this, by the way, when you guys are, see, this is Bible study, isn't it? Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my work. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Good for you. Devil believes that. So sit home and eat your kosher food. Watch kids get aborted. Homosexuality spread throughout the schools. I feel like I live on a different planet sometimes. I'm reading the same Bible. I'm reading the exact same Bible and getting something entirely different. Maybe I ought to make a deal. You religious
folks. Hey, Coach.
Hang on, George. We'll make a deal with the religious folks. I'll start obeying the Sabbath if you'll come out to the clinic. Both in the Bible, aren't they? Aren't they both in the Bible? You come out with me to the clinic. Then I'll quit eating shrimp. By the way, I don't like shrimp. Lobster, I hate it even more.
Dave, even in that verse, it says the devil trembles.
Yes, he does. He believes and trembles.
I know very few Christians who tremble with their
with their faith.
They just love them. There's no fear. There's no tremble of anything. The devil.
That's right. There's no fear of the Lord. The devil's at least smart enough to be afraid.
And you know what, Coach?
Yeah.
They don't tremble because they're receiving these garbage messages from these so-called pastors that are telling them, well, you know what? Behavior doesn't matter. It's all about just accepting Jesus. There's nothing that you can do that's going to remove you from God's will. And so right. You could do whatever you want because you've received grace. And that's what they're getting.
It's like I said yesterday, David, Jim, J.R. brought out, you were more welcome in the church before you were saved than you are now.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Even now they tell me, well, you can come here, but don't talk about that. Or you can come and talk about how God healed you, but please don't talk about the pedophilia amongst the LGBT movement because we don't want to offend them.
Hey, you suppose those pedophiles are keeping the Sabbath?
Maybe. David.
Huh? Is that when they're sacrificing the kids on the Sabbath? Oh, David, I'm grinding teeth today. Go ahead.
Grace, and you know, the first mention of grace in the Bible was Noah. Mm-hmm. Now, if grace was just God's unmerited gift to mankind, everybody on the face of the earth would have been building an ark. It says that Noah received grace because he was living after God.
Right. That's his righteousness.
Oh, that's beautiful.
The word grace is only used two times in the Old Testament, 119 in the New. When you look at the word grace and the definition in the Greek, go back and read in Ephesians 2. The definition is this. It is the divine revelation of God on a man's heart. When you think about Noah, Larry, that was great. The reason why Noah built a boat is because God gave him a revelation of who he was, and Noah honored that. Mankind didn't have that grace in the Old Testament. They received it in the New Testament. So everybody who says I'm a New Testament believer should watch out because to the stricter accountability, because we have received the revelation of Christ on our heart. We have seen him. We beheld his glory. And I want to tell you something. God is now holding us to his higher standard. That's for sure. In the Old Testament, you weren't guilty of murder until you committed the act. But in the New Testament, it says if you say Recca in your heart, you're already guilty of murder. In the Old Testament, you weren't guilty of adultery until you committed the act. In the New Testament, with lust in your heart, you're already guilty of this.
Amen. Amen. So, folks, listen, don't miss this, okay? Are you ready? Pure and undefiled religion before God. This is what it says. Doesn't have anything to do with rule following. It has to do with outflow. It has to do with works. Pure and undefiled religion before God is to visit the widow and the orphan in their time of need. And when that lady shows up at an abortion clinic, she is a widow and there is an orphan inside of her, and you won't find a Christian anywhere that wants to go do anything about it, especially the religious rule followers.
Bingo, Coach.
I know it's bingo. It's a mic drop. It's a mic drop. That's what it is. The truth.
Coach, we've been taught, though, you know, appreciate about what you're doing, what we're doing on this show is we're doing everything we can not to compromise. And I too, I have high respect for Billy Graham, but people like Billy Graham, people like Oral Roberts that got very, very famous, there's a tremendous price to be paid, and they're not going to let you get to that level, in my opinion, without compromise. And like David Arthur just said, that's why we're hearing these Mickey Mouse soft messages and why people are confused and they get so off track. Scripture for what it says.
So guys, are you guys following what's going on with CPAC in Washington, D.C.? CPAC, the conservative political action, whatever. The big, 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 big conservative gathering of conservative leaders. CPAC being held February 20th. That's like, well, it's going on right now. Do you know that they're now banning Pete LaBarbera, who fights homosexuality, not allowed to have a booth? Brian Kamiker, who fights homosexuals called Mass Resistance, not allowed to have a booth. Do you know that the homosexual lobby and movement has seized censoring power over those who are now conservatives? Are you guys aware of that? And so, see, it's a phony. I've been warning for years that conservatism is pretend salt. It's pretend salt. And they don't want to offend the homos. They don't want to offend the homos, David. They don't want to defend the homos, David. I'm sorry. They want to defend the homos because they give a lot of money. Conservative homos give a lot of money. But the conservative homos ain't really conservative. They're taking over the conservative movement. Show me the money. Look at these up here. They have gay Christians speaking at this event.
Hey, Coach, well, I thought you couldn't buy your way to heaven, brother.
Say it again.
I thought you couldn't buy your way into heaven, brother.
Well, hey, listen. To conservatives who aren't led by the Spirit of God, moral issues do not matter. Money issues. Look at that. Rick Harrison. Are you kidding me? Huh? What's it? Have anybody watched his show? What's the name of his show? It's out there in Las Vegas. I haven't watched him for long. Pawn Shop, right? You guys know who I'm talking about? Somebody give me a thumbs up. You know who I'm talking about?
Pawn Stars,
thank you. He's speaking. You ever heard him mention Jesus ever? You ever heard him ever mention Jesus? Who else is speaking there? Hang on. Let's go back down there. Oh, good for cover, Matt. Nigel Farage, you ever heard him mention Jesus? Slide back down a little bit. Oh, let's see here. Let's see. Katie Pavlik, you ever heard her mention Jesus? Oh, she may claim him. You ever heard her mention him? Look at this. Mark Levin. Mark Levin's Jewish. Mark Levin's Jewish. Ben Shapiro's Jewish. Denies Christ. Come on. Wake up. See what's going on. They got pretty people. I see that. I guess if you're pretty, you can get in there. I should have Pete on. Look at this. Look at this. Unbelievable. Conservatism is pretend salt. We can get off that, Jared. It just makes you want to barf. I wish they had Flip Venom speaking there. That's what I wish they had Flip there, or Rusty. Or Bill Dunphy. I wish they had them there, some real conservatives. Not these phonies. Not these phony there Christian Rush. Rush Limbaugh.
It's an amazing thing, Coach, that they say moral laws, the moral laws of God don't matter. But the only laws, the biblical laws that Jesus actually violated with the sundry laws of Sabbath. See, those are mechanical laws. The moral laws of God not only did not change, they become more scrutinized. They're more examined in the New Testament. These guys have no idea. And I believe it's also the mercy of God that he says that if you look at a woman with lust in your eyes, I believe there's also the compassionate side of God saying, hey, look, I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to stem you off from that seed that produces death. You know?
Yeah, amen. Amen, Dale. Amen. I think this is where the Lord wants me to go. The stuff I sent you today says secular prayers. Pull that up there.
Hey, Coach.
Our thoughts and prayers go out to you. We're sending our thoughts and prayers your way. What the hell's a thought and a prayer? What are you talking about? He sent thoughts somebody's way. Send our prayers your way? What is that? What do you mean you're sending your prayers that way? Hey, Lord, I'm going to say this prayer. Hey, Lord, I'm sending that thing over there. Yeah, Jeff, go ahead.
I just wanted to say there a week and a half ago when we did the meet and greet at the Knox County Republican Committee, I couldn't help it. I got up there and I had to tell all of them 50 Republicans sitting there that were going to pick their darling. I had to tell them that conservatism is pretend salt. I know they didn't like it too well, but it was explaining about the churches coming out into the drug infested neighborhoods and ending the drug problem if they come out and reach the community. So
see, Jeff, don't miss this. Those conservatives, they're for personal faith. You're allowed to have personal faith, but we're not for public faith because public faith divides and offends. It's lost its savor. It's crazy. Yeah. I want to show you something. I'm going to have to read this quick. I've had this in the queue here for about 3 or 4, maybe even 5 days. Status prayers for Parkland, USA. Parkland is the school down there where they got, I don't know who wrote this. Tony Sumter, I think it says. Tony Sumter. As you've no doubt heard, there's been another school shooting and 17 people are dead, and an evil man took lives he had no right to take, and his actions were full of hate and spite. These are human beings made in the image of God, most of them young people whose lives are cruelly cut short. There'll be aching holes left in families, among their friends, through Parkland, Florida community, deep pits of sorrow and pain. The Bible commands Christians to weep with those who weep, and so we do. But when a manifestly unjust act like this takes place, it's natural to ask whether there's anything to be done. Is there anything that can be done to stop this senseless violence? Is there anything to be done to protect our neighbors from these tragedies? I watched a CNN clip of a mother who lost her daughter in Parkland shooting. In her heartbreaking desperation, she cried out, demanding that President Trump do something to stop the bloodshed and violence, protect her children. I haven't lost a daughter in a school shooting, but I've buried a baby daughter and a baby son. And the thing that struck me was that what the mother was articulating, both with her words and her emotions, was what Christians call prayer. She was praying. Now, I grant that she likely didn't think she was praying, but the desperation in her voice, the hopelessness, the defeat, the fear, the helplessness, the demands, that is the prayer of a broken heart. But she was praying to the President of the United States, whom I can only assume is the highest authority that she can think of, the greatest power that she can appeal to. And in that moment on CNN, she knew there was a good chance that he would see her and hear her cries for help. And when the CNN cameraman returned to the reporter on the scene, the female reporter had choked up too. She couldn't speak. And it was understandable. So she appealed to the member of Congress standing next to her to say something, and fighting through his own emotion, he immediately cited the failure of Congress to enact laws. He too offered a prayer to the gods of government, to save us with gun control. In other words, what I want to point out is that amid the angry and dismissive denunciation of prayer as some kind of pointless, worthless platitude, what we are actually dealing with is a clash of religions. All the people mocking prayer as doing nothing, they're not prayerless. They're just praying to different gods. The Twitters and the medias are full of these pleas, these demands, these appeals to the state to do something. Pass laws, ban guns, more strenuous background shelf. Help us. Have mercy on us. Save us. It's not a matter of prayer or no prayer. When a tragedy like this occurs, everyone starts praying. But we have manifestly different gods we turn to. This is so good, isn't it? Of course, many will say that at least they're appealing to someone or something who can actually do something about school shootings, while millions keep talking to a figment of their imagination. But here's the problem. Christians who appeal to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ have far more reasonable grounds for believing that he can actually do and will do something about the shooters. You appeal to Congress and judges and presidents. You're praying to gods who cannot help you. They cannot save you. You're praying to gods who have brought this bloodshed upon us. And therefore, you demand that something be done by the government. Your demands are the very definition of platitudes. You're appealing to gods who cannot save. So enough with your hypocritical platitudes. Save your self-righteous posturing for your cocktail parties. Your cries for the government to save us are worthless. Demands for gun control are the obsessive compulsive prayers of statists. Clinical psychiatrists report that mental patients often gravitate to obsessive behaviors because they seem to offer an illusion of control. People wash their hands obsessively, count lines or steps, recite or retell events word for word, lock and unlock doors, masturbate, cut themselves off, overeat or undereat, use drugs and alcohol in a modern America. The instinctive demand for government to deliver us from one of our go-to Benzedrines or our obsessive compulsive twitch, demanding our status gods save us. Our nation is like the priests of Baal, screaming and cutting themselves, trying to get Baal to answer with fire. Perhaps if you yell louder, the state might come through. Well, it didn't work in Aurora. It didn't work in Newtown. And maybe your God is sleeping or on the John. The fact is, America's culture is unraveling. Our culture is coming apart, coming undone, careening out of control. And one of the places we have planted the seeds of this chaos is in our public schools. For decades, it's been a requirement of the curriculum that students be taught that they are an accidental byproduct of the Big Bang. They've been taught that they're not only some, they have been taught that they are only small, so many bits of plankton randomly mutated and evolved, floating meaningless in the sea of time. We've insisted that our children be taught that life is meaningless. Life came from nowhere and it leads to nowhere. And now in these last days, we've twisted that. We've insisted that our children be taught that they should obey the urges of chemicals in those meaningless bags of protoplasm we call bodies. If the urges tell them to hump something, someone, anything, anyone, school counselors will be on hand to show them how to do it safely. And now younger and younger, we irrationally insist that they are the masters of their own fate, their own destiny. They can choose their own sexual orientation, their own sexual identity. But why should it stop there? Why should our children not follow the argument that we have taught them? What? You say I'm a worthless bag of hormones, highly evolved by random mutation and a process of violent survival and aggressive mating? No, no, everyone cries. You're special. Life is special. Every life is special. Well, since when? You can't have the blood of 60 million babies crying out from the dumpsters of our land and insist with any degree of integrity that every life is special. You cannot legislate the murder of babies and wonder why a student might have the audacity to try to control his life however he wants. Well, he learned his catechism well. He dreamed a dream. He looked deep into his heart and felt the rage and hate and pain and despair of being taught that, that might makes right and choice is the highest good. He chose to live consistently with a Big Bang. Went through his old high school imitating the doctrine he was taught. Snuffing out lies with one Big Bang after another. Just enacting the creation myth he was given, just like so many abortionists, just like so many terrorist mothers taking the lives of their own children. All the enraged demands of the state to pass gun control laws are like a drunk demanding all the lines on the road be redrawn straight for him. You can't take 15 jello shots of Darwinism and 6 chasers of nihilism and then demand reason and meaning to emerge from the soup you just threw up into the toilet bowl, the back of the joint. You can't insist on sacred rights of choice and then choke when some young man actually chooses. You can't preach the freedom of following your chemical urges and then bluster furiously about someone doing something to stop this. What gives you the right to enforce your laws on Nicholas Cruz's body? If your worldview insists that there is no transcendent meaning, the only thing you have is might makes right, which makes all of your fussing and virtue signaling one big manipulative fit. So no, we won't be handing over our guns to the inmates running this asylum. You want us to cede control of our means of self-defense to a state that officially insists that it is a fundamental human right to murder babies in their mother's wombs? You kidding me? You want us to cede control to the high priest of a religion that teaches order and meaning magically emerge from chaos and anarchy, violence, and big bangs? Dude, not a chance. Turns out when tragedies like this occur, everyone prays. Much of the prayerful hysteria is aimed at politicians, the gods of many. Demanding that they do something, pass laws, restrict freedoms, hover over us, oh sweaty and abusive nanny state. Turns out that the salvation of the state is the slow suffocation of being smothered in the jelly rolls of their legislative belly fat. What a picture. But many of us prefer a God who can actually do something in this, about this messed up place. And all the feigned indignation about prayer being worthless is really just man's ongoing refusal to come to terms with his maker. You want change, real lasting change in our country? Then start by repenting of your incoherent worldview. Start by acknowledging that if you want real justice, right and wrong, there must be a fixed standard outside of yourself, a standard that doesn't change with the whims of lust or mobs or time. Otherwise, you have nothing to offer this conversation apart from the irrational shrieks and tears, a form of Tourette's syndrome, which most public school biology teachers would be quick to remind you are just the unnecessary end result of a cosmic gunshot that went off in the hallway of a universe a few billion years ago. Sorry, Buttercup. The universe doesn't give a rip. But of course, if you know there's a meaning in this world, that truth is more than molecules careening aimlessly, and stop your yammering about gun control and recognize your complicity in this situation. Repent of your porn use, treating other human beings as objects to use to gratify your lust. Repent of your bitterness, that silent, seething hatred that commits mass murder in your own heart. Confess the most fundamental truth of all. This world was created. Confess your malicious treason against your maker and against the world that he made and the way he made it. Accept his only offer of pardon found in the judicial murder of his only son, Jesus Christ. His blood for your ransom. So what will you do with this? What will you do? What will this do? How does this stop school shootings? Well, how could it be worse than what we've already got? We've been running away from Christ. What's that gotten us? A bloated state, 60 million slaughtered babies, families in shambles, and a bunch of shooting sprees. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Sin is our fundamental insanity. But a man has found itself in all kinds of obsessions and idolatry. The bad news is that this kind of insanity is terminal. You can't stop this train. The cancer is metastasized. But the good news is it only gets worse. The perversion only gets worse. The tyranny only gets more brazen. The violence only gets more frequent and bloody. And the reason it's good news is that sometimes God, in his sovereign mercy, uses the horror of sin and its consequences to shock people into repentance. Maybe we'll become that desperate and heartbroken mother on CNN. Maybe the hopelessness will sink in and we will realize that Donald Trump is a mere man. All of our legislators cannot save us. And then maybe in our desperation and hopelessness, we will cry out to the God of heaven and the only true God. And he will hear it. And he will say. That's it, isn't it? Huh? We're all praying, no matter who you're praying to.
Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I put a challenge out to the group. It's on the chat. I've given them the number for CPAC. I've given them a link to the information for mass resistance. And let's not be barking dogs in the parade, guys. Let's pick up the phone. Let's call CPAC. Let's have an effect on something this morning. I'm done.
That's right. That's right. Ask them why they become so homosexual friendly.
I'll do it, Jared. Hey, JR.
It's JR put it up there in the link. Go to listen, folks, if you're listening, just go to mass resistance. .org. Mass, like Massachusetts, mass resistance. It's all one word. Massresistance.org. And you'll see what's going on with CPAC, what they're doing. They banned Brian Kamiker. He's one of the frontline fighters against this perversion. They banned him. They won't let him have a booth. They won't let him pay $1,000 and have a booth. And that's the same people griping and moaning about cake bakers not being able to have the freedom to bake cakes, and they won't let the truth into their own daggone meat. So here's the good news from my standpoint. I was on Hagman last night. I got a chance to speak what was on my mind for a half hour last night to who knows how many people. And Howard Stern played a clip from this. And that's my goal. To irritate him more. I want the devil to know my name.
Amen.
Did you hear that? I want the devil to know my name. I'm not worried about shellfish. I'm not worried about Jesus plus a lot of other things. I want the devil to know my name. Because the Lord promised me that he would be with me. He would never leave me.
Amen, brother.
Huh? Have not I commanded you, be strong and be very courageous and be not afraid and be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. And I'm telling you, that fires me up. And to me, in my life, where my walk is, that's far more important whether I eat a shrimp or go to church on Sunday. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.